I'm at Ray now.
So this might sound weird, but does like do songs come to you, or do you ever sit down and discipline, listen, like I'm going to listen to the beat now and I'm going to try to make something now? Or is it just whenever you feel it, that's when you grab the pen and you really start trying to come up with a song?
That's a great question. Because I find that when I try, when I'm trying, sometimes stuff, my best stuff comes to me all in one thing. Boom. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I better write this down before I forget it. You know what I mean? Yep. And start going and singing and trying to voice note it or, you know, to remember. But I find anytime I try, it's an epic fail.
Right.
And I have had ideas that I haven't written down or executed or even say I've written it down and done a rough thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I hear, somebody else is singing it over there. So I feel like ideas are in the air, and it's a matter of who.
I totally agree.
There's only seven notes.
I totally agree.
Right? So once in a while, if I feel stuck, I will do this. And this is strange, but I will do this. This is my antenna.
Ah.
If ideas are out there.
She's reaching her hand up.
Yeah. I'm reaching my hand up. But yeah, I just feel like, I'm going to catch something.
Right. That's incredible.
Hold on. You raise your hand so that people come help you, or you're actually antennaing into
the vibe.
Oh, you literally mean an antenna. Okay.
Catching the vibe. That's brilliant.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Also interesting that Matt just stated an incorrect fact for the first time on this podcast. Can't tell you how happy I am. I'm overwhelmed.
I'm allowed to ask if a fact is correct.
No. You That's stated my limit. There are only seven notes.
In a scale per song. Plus the eighth being the octave. Yeah. You can't play, there are 12, but you can't just play those 12.
Sean that would Wilson be nonsense. Taught me that too.
No, he didn't.
Unless you're talking about atonal music, sir.
He says there's
passing notes, passing chords. They're all available.
I have the legit thing where he says it. But I'll show you. We'll take that off.
We'll take it off. Yeah.
Back to writing music.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you do, except for that.
When did you realize, like after you wrote your first song, and I'm trying, this is why I'm asking, what was it like exposing what you wrote to someone for the first time? Was that hard, or did you not have that kind of nervousness about like, this is what I did, what do you think? Because I know what that's like personally, and I'm wondering, someone that's been successful, what was that first moment like? Because then after, it's like, okay, I can do this, you're fine. But that first time exposing your craft or your song, did you have any nerves there, or you didn't really?
A little bit. I was a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I wrote a song to, you know, the first person I played it to was probably the guy who gave me the beat.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I wrote a song to one of the things you gave me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's this first song I ever wrote.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And I laughed. Mm-hmm. He laughed. And he said, that's brilliant.
There you go.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you feel so better.
We put it out on radio and lots of people liked it.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, they like it.
Something.
But then there was like, some people was like, yo, that dirty girl.
Oh no.
She don't want to clean the house. That dirty girl. Like, it's a song, man.
Yeah, it's a song.
No, I wrote it while I was cleaning, but I was cleaning. I was actually cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's not fun.
Right.
Oh, man.
Dirty gal.
Wow. There's always going to be the naysayers. That's
right.
Just part of the process.
When working with the kind of producer that makes beats in particular, do you ever come up with instrumental ideas and you tell them how to change that, or you really sort of leave that to them?
Oh, no. I do have instrumental ideas, and to execute that, if you've ever listened to the music that I do, there's so many harmonies. At first I just had samples and stuff like that, or drum beats and stuff. So to actually make changes within the music, I did it with my backup harmonies to progress and to make changes within the music.
Right.
Normally a sample, it doesn't change. It's just a sample. It's never going anywhere. It's on repeat. It's looped. It's going again. Here we go around again, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh,
right. That was almost James Brownie.
Yeah.
It's weird. You're holding a mug with our faces on it.
Am I?
Yeah.
I was actually hoping you would have.
I've never seen that. It's so strange.
I was actually hoping that you would have had it turned the other way. So every sip, you're like, this is so weird.
Here we go. Is everybody good now?
The little things that make me happy.
I didn't even notice until they brought it up.
Yeah. This is how I spend my time.
What do you like doing more, writing, creating music, or performing it in
performing.
Front of the crowd?
Yeah? 100% performing. I mean, you know what? I love creating.
Mm-hmm.
It's magic to have an idea that's in your head, and then you bring it to life, and other people can actually hear it.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. actually an exciting thing.
And one step further, they're singing it back to you.
Yes, like, exactly. There's nothing like having people enjoy your music and sing it with you and tell you they love it. Or just to watch their faces in the audience as they're smiling and enjoying or dancing. You know, it's great.
What do you hate the most about being a singer-songwriter performer?
I hate comparisons, and I hate when people try to make like music is a competition. It's not a competition at all.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Because music is just an expression, right? An expression and sharing an emotion, a feeling, a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing competitive about that. You feel the way you do. I feel the way I do. Whatever.
This is a hot clip. That's a great point. I really, really, that was a great way of saying it, too. It's not a competition. And I find that... maybe I'm wrong, but I find women unfortunately end up in this competitive nature. Like there's only certain spot that we can allow women to be stars when there's proof that that's not true. But I find that men aren't so competitive when it comes to music as...
Have you seen hip-hop? Women.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a good point, hip-hop.
It's pretty competitive. Well, I think classical music is the most competitive.
And what do you mean?
Well, when we talk to Ellie, who's been through the classical circuit, it's just very like, well, I do Bach misinterpretation.
Good point. Okay,
you're
doing the
Mozart interpretation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That is weird.
Yeah, technicalities and things.
Wonder why that happens.
That is. And
Some people they just like to hear themselves speak.
Mm.
And you know what? There's certain personality disorders where people got to yammer on about themselves and what they think. And it's like, that's nice. But if it's in a condescending manner, you need to take it away from me.
And those people are often artists.
I also feel the competitive spirit takes away from the creativity.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of
weird.
It's a dark cloud.
Together. It doesn't feel good.
I think the industry has something like the
it's pressure too.
Labels and stuff. Yeah.
The pressure to make it, the pressure to pop through.
I'd say the other thing that might get in the way of the music, and let me know if this happens to you, when you already have an audience that's expecting, that liked whatever, the first, second, third song you've made, is the pressure of making something that those fans will like, how much does that affect the songwriting for you?
Zero.
Good.
Zero.
I write
good.
For me.
Good.
Mm. I write to express myself and how I'm feeling in the moment. So impressing somebody is like, you know what? I'm here to impress myself.
Are you impressed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So are we. So
are we. Thank you.
Do you what do you picture? Do you picture like when you're writing or when you're, I guess, creating the songs? Are you thinking more live performance? Do you see that far ahead? Are you hearing like radio, or does it depend on the song and the vibe?
No, I'm actually just in the moment creating a vibe for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think ahead to that stuff. Just, I don't know. I just haven't.
That's good.
You're just in the present moment.
In the present moment, expressing how I feel to try to relay that emotion within the musical piece of work.
Well, that's important. I asked that question because I know there's a lot of people who seem like they jumped the gun.
For sure.
In trying to create the moments that come after or beyond where you actually are now.
Or they try and work backwards. Like, I want to do this like big song. It's going to touch people. And then they try and make that song that touches people. And it's gross.
Because like,
you can feel that every time.
R. Kelly. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Oh, whoa. And then he starts singing. We just got to shut down.
Pull out my gun. Oh,
God. That was different. That whole, he did like 40 chapters of that in the closet.
I know.
It was bizarre.
I binged them all before the internet was easy to use. So it took me a whole day to like hunt down every episode and then sit there and let it buffer. And I died laughing for days after that.
Because nobody really understood how many there were.
Yeah, so. You thought there was like four. And you're like, wait, there's 40?
Yeah. Do you go to the bathroom in this closet? What do you do?
Yeah, it's so long.
If you guys are young and you haven't seen this, look up R. Kelly trapped in the closet and prepare to have a new life after that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I feel like we're not even allowed to say any of this for some weird reason.
Yeah,
empower the bad guy.
Yeah,
we had that conversation of like, because there's one song by him that to me it's like one of the best songs ever made. And I know it sounds weird saying it, but Step in the Name of Love to me is one of those songs. You can be in the shittiest mood and that song comes on and you're going to bop. You're going to bop. You're going to forget about your problems. Yeah. But then now you hear it and you just think of that gentleman.
You're going to guilty bop.
Yeah.
Guilty bop is a new genre.
Yeah, guilty bop. All his music is guilty bop now. Ignition, yeah. All of it. It's all guilty bops. Even so Fiesta. Right. Oh,
did you guys see Verses with Mr. Big and
that was beautiful.
Was it Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah, that was. Ugh, was it Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Was it not? That. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah,
and
yeah, you're right. Sorry,
Mr.
Sorry.
Big, Mr. Big?
Mr. Big. This is Mr.
Ron
Big.
Ron Isley?
The Isley Brothers.
Who are you thinking?
Oh,
damn.
But did you know that R. Kelly wrote a lot of stuff for him after?
Yeah.
Yeah, not his the later early stuff, obviously, yeah. But the later stuff, yeah.
So we're not allowed to like that either.
Does that change the out? Art, though?
Yeah,
exactly. Is the song not good anymore?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question.
The
what
song
do you, what
is still great. R. Right. Kelly's an amazing writer, you know, and that doesn't change.
Can
but
we separate the person that wrote the song from the actual song itself?
I feel like we have to because my thing is there's so much that we don't know about people.
True.
So it's like once you know that.
Just
you
because
can't
he
like
was exposed
it.
Doesn't mean there's other, not other nasty people in the
literally
industry.
Literally,
you know?
Exposed.
Yeah. I will say this, though, that after all that, he released with Lady Gaga, Do What You Want with My Body. And I was like, could you have chosen something else for your return song?
It's just maybe it's very sensitive. He crossed some lines.
He wrote You Are Not Alone. A lot of people. That's a
he crossed all the lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you mean he wrote You Are Not Alone?
He wrote that song for Michael Jackson.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
How old is this guy?
R. Kelly?
Probably old enough to write You Are Not Alone.
Probably old enough.
But don't.
We got to fact check that.
I'm actually.
Man, you'll have to pop
Angel
something
by Celine Dion. He wrote that too.
I still like Pee Wee Herman. Is that one of those things too?
Yeah, he's on the same
he
for me.
Even,
but he just exposed himself. He didn't do what R. Kelly did.
Yeah,
but he did it in a theater made for that.
Yeah, like it's a different, to me, it's different. He's on like the Louis C.K. level.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Like, so you're weird, nasty, but whatever. But R. Kelly is like unforgivably nasty.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. Yeah, we're going to cut all of that. If you heard this, I apologize. So, Melanie.
Are you apologizing to R. Kelly or
I'm
to her?
Apologizing to everybody except for R. Kelly. Are you done with R. Kelly, Matt? Can we move on now?
Yeah.
I will never be done with R. Kelly.
Let's talk about some real good music that's coming out right now, because I know that you've been working on something and you have some new music and new releases.
Yes, my brand new single is called Listen. And what did I release it 2 weeks ago, I think.
Brand new.
It's off my new album. It's called Where I'm At. Mm. It's my third album now. First being Where I'm Going, and then there was Anticipation, and now there's Where I'm At.
Like it.
That sounded that. That was my radio voice.
Now, now where I'm at.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the whole process of making it.